Welcome to the Elevation Church Podcast. For this special Crash the Chatterbox edition, Pastor Stephen discusses the message of Crash the Chatterbox with clinical psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. Henry Cloud. They talk about choosing counsel carefully and training your mind to identify God's voice.
Basically, the three P's are this: personal, pervasive, and permanent. And what those mean are that when something happens, any event happens, somebody doesn't return your phone call, or somebody doesn't smile, or, you know, anything, can be anything, that a million things could be causing. If we're in a certain state of what you're calling the chatterbox, we will explain that event in terms of the three P's. We'll personalize it. Well, I must have done something wrong.
Right.
Or this project didn't work because I'm a loser. Or I really don't have any talent. Or I'll never be, you know. And there's some way in which it's about us being inadequate. The second P is, well, it's not just this one person that hates me. Everybody hates me. It's pervasive. You know, it's not just this one part of my life. My whole life is upside down. And then the third one is permanent. And we think, you know, it won't be any different tomorrow. Nothing's going to change. And once that permanent thing happens, you know, hope goes out the window, and then we really go into the black hole.
Okay, so while I was writing about those three P's in my book and kind of giving the application that was, you know, really immediate to the idea of condemnation, or maybe a better, more accessible word would be the idea of shame.
Yeah.
I was on vacation with my family, working on the book. And all of a sudden, my 8-year-old Elijah, he is playing, and I tell the story in the book, but I'll tell a part of it now. He's playing with a cornhole board that my mom, who's also in the studio with us today, hi mom, she had loaned us for a vacation. And Elijah is all of a sudden jumping up and down on a cornhole board. Next thing, it's broken. Next thing, Holly's fussing. And then I hear Elijah say this, and I think this is the exact sentence: "What's wrong with me? I always mess up everything." And then he melted down, and I told him he was going to have to help us pay to replace it because he needs to learn to take care of stuff. We got through the little meltdown. But when I sat back down to finish writing, I thought, there they were, all three P's in one sentence from an 8-year-old. So break it down. What's wrong with me? He made it personal. There's something wrong with me. You know, not only did I break the cornhole board, it's not just a behavior, it's who I am. I always, permanent, it's always this way, mess up everything. Pervasive, not just broke a cornhole board. I am now the cause of all of the disasters in the universe. And I thought, there it is, from an 8-year-old.
There it is.
In so many ways, that is the chatterbox and how it works, you know, the three piece. So what are examples you've seen of this? You coach some of the most successful people in the world to train their minds and to take their thoughts captive and to begin to redirect these thoughts.
Yeah.
Give some case studies of ways that you've seen this and then ways you've seen it improve.
Well, one of the most important things I think for us to realize in this, and it runs throughout all the case studies and all the ways that they improve, is that what we don't often understand is that the way God designed our brains, pretty much everything we hear inside of our heads are internalizations from experiences we've had or from voices that we've heard. That's the way he just designed us. You know, a kid is a sponge, and when parents teach them the ways of life, they internalize those. It becomes software. It runs a computer for the rest of their lives until the software is rewritten. That's A. B, we're born, every system of human behavior that's ever been studied notices that humans have a tendency to judge themselves very harshly and in an all-or-nothing way. Psychiatry will call it, you know, catastrophic thinking. There's a lot of different ways that people have categorized this, but the Bible says we're born under this law that judges us in a way that if we failed in one thing, we failed in the whole thing. So humans come to the table with an all-or-nothing judgment inside of them. A baby has that when they're born. You can see it the way they judge mommy when she doesn't come immediately, you know, and is screaming. And then we hear things from the outside that reinforce it. So having said that, here's where people fail, Stephen. It's very, very important for us to get this. People think that they can do this inside their own head by themselves. And you can't. because of the way the brain and the heart and the mind and the soul are designed. Your previous, you know, conversation said that when the wife speaks into her husband's, you know, noise in his head, what's happened? You've opened up that system, that closed brain chatterbox. You've opened it up to the outside where new voices can speak in, where God's voice can speak in, and where new relational voices than the ones in your past can speak in. And your brain actually begins to internalize that code, and that writes new stuff. So in all the case studies, even the highest performers in the world, what they need is somebody outside their own head helping them to write new voices.
So how do they know who that can be that they can trust? I think a lot of people are hearing this, well, man, I can't afford a counselor, or if I share this with them, they're going to think I'm crazy. How do you get past that?
Well, the first thing to get past of where you, that they're going to think you're crazy is you need to select people well. You know, I love the term significant other because we get to decide who is going to, which voice is going to be significant. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a choice that we get to make. And so when people are gravitating and giving significance to people who are critical and just are against them and put them down and deflate them, that's a significance that you're granting, right? And what you have to do, like you just said, is you've got to select the voices you're going to listen to. Now, the opposite is just as bad. If you only listen to people that think you're wonderful and you have no way to improve or this, that, and the other, that's not true either. Number one, we need to find people that are for us, people that have grace. You know, grace means unmerited favor. So they're for us. They want us to win. They're pulling for us. They have good intent towards us. Number two, that they have accurate eyes, that they can see our strengths, that they can see our weaknesses, and the feedback we get from those chatterboxes is accurate, as the Bible says, to get a sober estimation of yourself. And then thirdly, that they use that in a way that they are trying to help us, and the feedback is based in love, and it's based in help, and it's based in encouragement, and that it's both things. They validate good stuff and help us with our weaknesses. And then the fourth thing is that they are part of that process as well. But, you know, one of my favorite passages is in Matthew 23, where Jesus talked about the Pharisees, who were the people you do not want to get feedback from. He said that they lay heavy burdens on men's shoulders and are unwilling to lift them with a finger. Well, the people you want to get feedback from are people that, as he said there, have entered into the process themselves, that they're used to looking at themselves, and that you're in an environment where nobody thinks you're crazy because we all understand that all of us have this noise in our heads. Those are the people you want.
That's one of the things that I wanted to start the book with, is that God's voice is a voice of affirmation. It doesn't mean that he's always affirming every decision, but he affirms us.
Yes.
And so many people don't hear God that way.
Well, one of my favorite just incredible passages about that is in James, where he says, you know, if we need wisdom, ask God and he'll give it to us.
Yeah.
And then the next phrase says, who gives wisdom without finding fault. And so he's looking at us, realizing, you know what, you need to change this a little bit, or you need some insight here to do better. And he's not like nitpicking, finding fault, like you loser. He's trying to help.
Thank you for listening to this special clip. For more bonus content from Pastor Stephen Furtick and Elevation Church, be sure to subscribe to the Elevation Church podcast.